You think back on life, and when you do that quite frequently, I know the older you get, I think, because there's more of it to think back on. But how many times in your life or in the life of others, a little thing changed that course of life dramatically? It happens, right? And why does it happen? It usually happens because there's somebody believing in you, a neighbor or your community, family members. So all those opportunities, how do you turn that generosity into something that lasts for generations? Oh, we get to talk about that here today in a great way. The Montana Community Foundation is on board here. They have $216 million in assets, 2,000 charitable funds created by people like you, individuals, families, and businesses. Where's that money going? Who's it helping? Whose life is it changing? We talk about that today on Voices of Montana. A bit later on, Kendra Owen is going to join us. She represents the Eagle Family Fund. That's a philanthropic organization as well. Jim Woodring will be alongside from Cut Bank and the Cut Bank Community Foundation. That's one of Montana's, again, local community foundations working with the Montana Community Foundation to just change lives for the better. And a bit later on, too, we'll also hear from Ariel Overstreet Atkins as well about how you make that happen. As like I said earlier, too, that gift that can last for generations. We kick the show off here as a welcome you to Monday, Jim Bennett and Heather Oath. Jim is with the Montana Community Foundation based out of the Haver area, KPQX 92.5 FM. Throw that in there. Hello to our Haver friends there, HD2. And gift and estate planning director. And then Heather Oz joins us as well in beautiful Madison County, gifts and estate planning director there as well. We'll say hello to Jim first. Good morning, Jim. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Hanging right in there. Yeah. How about Heather? Heather Oz, how are you, ma'am?
I'm doing great. I'm looking at the snow-covered mountains of Hollow Top, and I couldn't ask for a better Monday.
Ah, nice. I can picture it as well. It is a beautiful area to come from. Jim, what is the Montana Community Foundation?
Yeah, so the Montana Community Foundation is our statewide community foundation, and we've been around for almost 40 years.
Yeah.
And the goal of the Montana Community Foundation is to create a culture of giving so that Montana communities can flourish. And what that means is we work with people across the state in a variety of different ways to encourage charitable giving, to let people know what opportunities exist. And for those places or things where an opportunity doesn't exist, how can we work with communities and individuals to make something happen?
Yeah.
And so that looks like partnerships with 45 local community foundations around the state. And, another 450 nonprofits that operate across the state, and scholarship funds and family funds and all other kind of things too. And so it's really our goal to highlight, what's possible, with charitable giving in Montana.
Yeah. Heather, what is possible? Tell me, the moment when you're talking with some community members, maybe it's a group, maybe it's an individual, and they have got a plan and they have got some goals and they want to leave something behind. Talk about that conversation and the kind of people you're talking to, what is that connection to these people that give to the community that they want to inspire better for?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's what's kept me in this field for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
It's inspiration, right? So we get to come along people who want to dream big and do big, and they're just not sure how to put all those pieces in place to make it happen, right? I think for most of us, we have an idea, but then we get hung up on the next step, if you will. And so really, folks like Jim and I get to sit down at tables and diners, and sometimes we're out in the field with farm and ranchers, and we're saying, what is it you want to do? And then we help pave that way. And so maybe those conversations are visiting with an estate attorney or their CPA or financial advisor, or maybe it's sitting down with their family and having just broad conversations about, here's what mom and dad is thinking, and this is why they're thinking that, or what do you guys identify with as a family that you want to be remembered by? Because we're an aging state, and folks are starting to think about their legacies, and they're starting to think about how they want their town to look or their city. You know, we're evolving, Montana is, and what values are important to us. And so we get to have those conversations and maybe drill down in ways they haven't thought yet, and then create that fund, if you will, or that opportunity to give, whether it's with, you know, cash and those liquid assets, or looking at, you've got cattle, crops, and a combine. How do we use something illiquid to either, you know, fund something in perpetuity for your community or for your family's legacy? And let us do all of the research. Let us ask the hard questions and figure out options for you. So, Tom, there's no one recipe card. That's what I say to people. You know, it's a chance to put your own signature stamp on it. And sometimes that's exciting and sometimes it's overwhelming. And so Jim and I always say, let's start with a conversation and go from there. Yeah. You think that's fair, Jim?
Yeah, I do. And I think, you know, every community is different and everybody's dream for their community is different too. And so for some people, they want to keep the community swimming pool going forever because that's an important memory in their life. And other people want to support the school or they want to support the museum that they've been a part of for a generation. And so, you know, that goal of supporting the things that make your community special, that's the thing that ties us all together. But what makes it different is how each person wants to have that play out in the future.
Yeah.
And it's great to be a part of those questions. And it's wonderful that we have built a staff of people that's knowledgeable and can make those things become a reality.
And we're going to drill down into that on the community aspect here in just a little bit. Jim Woodring will join us from the Cut Bank Community Foundation. Kendra Owen, doing a lot of good work in West Yellowstone area, Eagle Family Fund, I believe. And then Jim Bennett with us and Heather Owes as well with the Montana Community Foundation, mtcf.org, for more information. And when you log on there or click on there, you're going to go up to the top and you're going to see giving, impact, funding, scholarships. There are some specific programs. And Heather, let's go into that a little bit. And again, from that perspective of someone who wants to help somebody in need, we talked about where they start just by asking the questions. Where do you guys direct this? Talk about your giving, talk about the impact and the scholarships, all that stuff. I think it's super cool.
Yeah. I mean, scholarships are definitely something we're really proud to be able to offer. And these are because donors have seen a need. And so Jim will touch a little bit. He's got a great story, about scholarships, but there is really a way to make direct impacts in lives. So it may be that a family starts a donor advised fund and they use that money each year to give to the things that have impacted their family. So it might be a hospital. It might be a school or a church. And they're going to make annual distributions forever that go to these things that, you know, make direct and immediate differences in the lives of those people. And you know, it could be a field of interest. We've had folks who are like, I really love arts and culture. I want to see more of that in Montana, but I want it to be, you know, specific, like in these type of media or these type of arts. And so we can create funds that represent their lives' passion and impact points and then help promote that. So, you know, people can reach out and say, I want to request funding for, you know, an arts and culture program in my community. And we get to put all that together for them in a way that makes it fun for them and frictionless, which is the goal, so that they can really get to the fun stuff of giving and seeing impact.
Yeah, and later on, too, we're going to learn more. We'll talk with Ariel Overstreet Atkins, an estate attorney as well, about that process, because there is this great wealth transfer that they're talking about going on from the older generations to the younger generations. And how do you do that without, you know, most of it winding up in Uncle Sam's pockets? Because people, you work hard for your money. You can direct how it's going to exist, you know, after you, so to speak. Jim, talk about those scholarships. I'm looking at the scholarship directory. Again, it's mtcf.org, and it looks endless. The Leo and Ann Berry Family Scholarship, the Henry Braley Give a Hand Scholarship, the Broadwater Community Sam and Hulda Clark Scholarship. What is this program?
Yeah, so donors over the, you know, the course of our existence, donors have committed to creating these funds, and a lot of them are specific to a certain area. And so there's that component of scholarships on our website. And so actually, if you have a student that's interested in applying for scholarships, tomorrow's the deadline to apply, but a student can log on to our website. And there's a brief eligibility quiz that they take that shows them what scholarships they could be eligible for based on where they're from, what they're studying. And there are, we this last year gave out $1 million in scholarships for students across the state.
Wow.
And and you know, a couple of years ago, we created a new scholarship that is a memorial scholarship for Gary Olszewski. And this is a great example of an individual who, you know, wanted to support young people going to two-year schools across the country, but he was hoping that students from Hill, Blaine, and Phillips County would have the opportunity to apply for these scholarships, and it would pay for everything for them to go to school. And Gary, unfortunately, like I think Montana State University Extension says 7 out of 10 Montanans pass away without a will. And Gary was one of those people, but his family knew of his dream to support students from his area going to school and getting a valuable education that could bring them back to their home community and give them a good job. And so the family created this memorial scholarship in Gary's name. And and like I said, it's for students from Hill, Blaine, and Phillips County. It's a $8,000 a year scholarship that they get for 2 years. And so hopefully that'll pay for someone to become a plumber or an electrician or a mechanic or, you know, something in that 2 year degree field that will hopefully bring them back to Montana, to North Central Montana, and give them a good income, and hopefully, you know, they can be a productive member of communities like Haver and Chinook and Malta. So
yeah, and that's the thing. It's just a little thing at times, you know, whether it's $1,000 here or $500 there, something like that. And Heather, maybe you speak about this as well. I know we're up against, we'll talk about it later, but just the little things that can encourage somebody for a lifetime in the right direction. Kendra, I want to have you set up, because we're going to get to into that local community foundation level here with Jim Woodring from the Cutbank Community Foundation. I don't know, they've got an event going on here as well, a community builder summit. Set this up for us. Who is Jim Woodring? And then talk about, you know, getting together and forming that Cutbank Community Foundation. That's for you, Heather.
I'm sorry, Tom. You want me to do that? Yeah.
Tease us, because Jim's going to come up next. So tell us about this guy. Go ahead and brag about him or not.
Yeah, no, I mean, Montana survives and thrives because of volunteers. And yeah. Jim is one of those people. He stepped up. He's willing to do the work and to help bring a local community foundation and a concerted effort about philanthropy and generosity to that community. And so they are off and running. I don't want to steal his thunder or good news, but there is so much excitement to share. And then, of course, you alluded to the event coming up. And so what we're seeing is just grassroots movement to say, we want more. And Jim's one of those people helping lead that charge, Tom. So you're going to love hearing from him.
It's a little bit to manage here. $216 million in charitable assets. That comes from you, by the way. Good work. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing your blessings. Nearly 2,000 philanthropic funds administered statewide. A lot of those in the scholarships here. We just got a call. Welcome back here. It's from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana, listening in Billings on KGHL. A guy named Barry and his daughter, who loves the classic country, or maybe just kind of forced into it, just called in, you guys, and wanted to know the deadlines. As you mentioned, Jim, it's Jim and Heather from the Montana Community Foundation, Heather Owes and Jim Bennett. Where to log on to those scholarships and the deadlines. As you noted, they are tomorrow, Tuesday, March 31st. And I think, Jim, that's all the way across the board, isn't it, for all of those scholarship funds that you have?
That's right. Yep. And so if you go to mtcf.org, there's a button for scholarships at the top of the page. And if you click it, you go, there's a button there that says apply now or take our scholarship eligibility quiz. And that, will help students, you know, figure out what things they could be eligible for in that, catalog of scholarships, because there are a number of scholarships that we have that benefit students for a variety of reasons across the state. So,
Jim Bennett again with the Montana Community Foundation staff. Heather O is with us. Let's welcome Jim Woodring. He is from Cut Bank, Montana, and they've got a new family foundation there, a community foundation, and they've got a big builder summit upcoming. And Jim Woodring, welcome. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good. How about yourself? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Tell me why you're doing this. Tell me about the response in Cut Bank, because I think we just saw a little bit of it here. We're talking about scholarships for students, and bang, we get a call just like that. There's a need out there, isn't there?
Oh, for sure, for sure. You know, the response here in Cut Bank's been tremendous, and we're really just getting started. You know, a couple of years ago, we were, as a community, we were looking at a couple of multi-million dollar grants and putting in for them. And some of the challenges we realized was it's kind of hard to come by a big chunk of matching funds. And it's actually really hard to find a community-led outfit that's willing to act as the fiscal agent. I mean, the chamber can only do so much, and sometimes you stray outside of their mission. So we did some research, and we found where the Montana Community Foundation was doing this Million for Montana drive, where they had a five-year program to set up a new community foundation, and they had matching funds along the way. So I think the first year, if we raised $5,000, they gave us $5,500 to put right into the endowment or to grant right out. And we were a little late to the party. 2024 when it kicked off, and I think we got our stuff together about the end of 2024. So they gave us a couple of months of 2025 to get that first goal hit, but we hit it right off the bat and got our first round of grants given out. Gave away about $5,000 last year to various aspects of our community and people that had applied for it. And you know, it just that kind of turbocharged it. We hit last year's goal, and we've already actually hit this year's goal. So, I mean, we're less than a year and a half into it, and we're already three of the goal years in. We've raised quite a lot of money for our community. It's been great.
Congratulations on that as well. And by the way, when it comes to giving, you're never too late. There's always the right time to start is now, so to speak. And I'm sure Heather Owes would probably, reiterate that. But Heather, talk about that process, that building a community fund, because it might seem like it's a little daunting when you're looking at creating a trust fund that actually continues to give. You've got to have a substantial amount, or do you, for that?
Yeah, you know, a community foundation, like what Jim was mentioning, it's an opportunity for folks in the community to decide what their funding priorities are, what they want to do with the money that their community members are giving them. And a lot of times, they just need the guidance, like, what are the best practices to do this? What are some bylaws and policies we should be thinking of and implementing? And with 47 local community foundations affiliated with us, we have a full-time staff member, Cheyenne Wallace, who's able to walk alongside them to help them form that entity, if you will, and really get going. And every community foundation that we have in Montana is unique and different and responsive to the needs of their community. So I work a lot with the Community Foundation of Northern Rosebud County over in Forsyth, and they have a lot of funds that help with their library, help with their pool, recreation, youth issues. And that may not be what, you know, Cut Bank decides to do. Jim and his volunteers will get to decide that. But you don't need $1 million to get started.
Yeah.
You just need the willingness and the curiosity to see what's next. And then we help the group, you know, through our wisdom and experience, really get their best foot forward.
Jim Woodring again from the Cut Bank Community Foundation. Is there a target project or two that people in the community are clamoring to get done?
You know, we've got a couple we're working on right now. Our first round, we kind of went with like infrastructure and that and long term stuff, and that's kind of where our board's emphasis is at. But I mean, that doesn't just have to be bricks and mortar. It can also mean, you know, some long term programs. And there's a couple of pretty neat programs that for kids specifically that are trying to get their feet off the ground, and they're not quite there yet. And between our guidance, the guidance of the Montana Community Foundation, and then a little bit of money that we can start throwing that direction, you know, there's a few different things that we have our hands around that that we'd really like to get off and see benefit Cutbank for all the future generations and stick around for a long time. And that was kind of the whole point of putting together an endowment, is to be able to do those sorts of things and make sure that a lot of this stuff goes on for time immemorial. I mean, Cutbank used to be an oil town for a long, long time, so it's pretty used to the booms and the busts, and we're trying to figure out how to kind of get something put together that doesn't have the bust part and can just keep on going for long past our timeline.
What has been your experience? Like you say, it's just been about a year and a half, and you guys, like you noted, kind of hit the ground running, turbocharged, so to speak. You're volunteering for this, and these others are volunteering as well. Their hard-earned dollars for it. What has been Jim Woodring's experience in this?
Oh, it's been great. You know, I mean, there's lots of needs that I saw before I teamed up and volunteered my time here. But after our first round of grant funding and some of the requests and stuff that came in and things that people have come up and recommended to me over that time, you know, it opens your eyes to just how much need there is and really how much demand there is. I mean, there's a lot of people with a lot of good ideas, and there's just not quite enough time, money, or support to be able to put some of them together, but they're 90% there already. So it's surprising how little money can go such a long ways. And, you know, there's a lot of it coming down the pipe with a lot of estates and stuff. There's a lot of assets tied up around here and a lot of people that are going to have to do some tax planning. And this is just an awesome place for people to be able to get really good bang for their buck and also get a tax benefit while they're at it.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that a bit later on with Ariel Overstreet Atkins. Jim Bennett is with us. Heather Owes, they are gift and estate planning directors, different areas for the Montana Community Foundation. Heather or Jim, whoever wants to take this, I want you guys to talk about what's going on at Cutbank, April 21st. It's at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. This is the Community Builder Summit, and it starts at 9:00. So once again, it's April 21st. Learn more about this if you're interested. St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 9:00 in Cutbank. Heather or Jim, what is a Community Builder Summit?
Yeah, I'll take it. This is Jim Bennett.
Yep.
The Montana Community Foundation has been partnering with the Montana Nonprofit Association and MSU's Extension Office to talk about how do we help rural communities get caught up on things that the larger communities in the state, it seems like, have had kind of in the vein of fundraising for nonprofits. And you know, there's a lot of services that you see in those bigger communities that rural communities need, but they're not big enough to need somebody to be a full-time person. And so a lot of times those volunteer nonprofits like Jim Woodring and the Cutbank Community Foundation, or here in Haver, the Hill County Community Foundation, they help leverage dollars that are available, grant dollars and things like that. And so this Community Builder Summit in Cutbank on the 21st of April, the goal is how do we get people in other rural communities to get together and just talk about what's going well.
You Montanans are so generous. I appreciate that about you. I love that about you, about us, so to speak. The Montana Community Foundation, we're talking about them and the work that's getting done there in 40-plus years. We've got that spread around the entire state, $122 million given back into our communities. There are $216 million in assets there. And that comes from you again. So congratulations on that. Thank you. What is being done with that? That's what we're talking about today with members of the Montana Community Foundation. I'm Tom Schultz, back here at Voices of Montana, mtcf.org. For more information, we noted some scholarships. There's a ton of them. The deadline's tomorrow. Okay, get in there and apply. And hopefully you've got it going. Oh, I heard somebody ring in here. That may be Kendra Owen, who we're hoping to hear from here.
Hello,
Kendra. Good morning. How are you?
Well, good. I just landed in Great Falls.
That is so, thank you so much for, you know, landing and getting on the radio. Before you even picking up your bags, I'm sure. So thank you so much. And Kendra, let me welcome our full lineup of guests here. It's Jim Bennett and Heather Ohs. They're both gift and estate planning directors with the Montana Community Foundation. Jim Woodring is alongside as well. He is with Stockman Bank out of Cut Bank, Montana, and the Cut Bank Community Foundation, which has just got things rolling early on. Again, that's because there's need, but also people that want to feel those needs. And then Kendra Olin joins us from the West Yellowstone area and the Eagle Family Fund. Kendra, thanks for popping on here rather quick. Let's get your story. Okay, what is the Eagle Family Fund, and what are some of the good things you guys are doing with it?
All right. Well, the Eagle Fund was established in honor of my grandparents, Sam and Ida Eagle, who were among the founders of West Yellowstone. We had a family business there in an iconic structure designed by renowned Bozeman architect Fred Wilson, and the family ran and operated that business for 113 years.
Wow.
So Sam and Ida were incredibly industrious. My grandfather was unable to go to college, and he was able to see the blessed benefits of his brother, who during, you know, his college was able to secure a benefactor who put him through college at Hill School. Anyway, so my grandfather's goal was to, well, one of them was to have as many children as he could support through college.
Oh.
And he and my grandmother sent 10, well, all 10 of their children attended Montana State College, which is now Montana State University. And his philanthropy was not only local, I mean, both Sam and Ida were very involved in the community, but he also was contributing nationally and internationally. And thing for our family was my discovery of a hand-signed letter from Helen Keller in the family bookcase upstairs, along with many other philanthropic endeavors that they were involved with, not only locally, but statewide and countrywide and outside of, you know, global impact. And so anyway, we wanted to establish a fund to honor them. And we initially set up our own foundation. And after several years of doing that, my brother Jack Eagle started networking with the Montana Community Foundation. And it was a very easy decision for us to put our umbrella, put our fund under the umbrella of the wonderful and well-established Community Foundation, Montana Community Foundation.
I want to talk about that connection here in just a little bit. I want to hear a little more, though, Kendra, about Sam and Ida, and then you as a family member. Hard work, right? That great work ethic, probably some fiscal responsibility in all of that as well. They probably didn't set out to be that kind of benefactor, but they are. Talk about that impact, from that personal level for your family as well, and then the kind of emotions that you feel when you are sponsoring kids and their success in the future.
It is the value of education and the family faith is a core value that has been absolutely passed on to me. And the tenacity of working through challenges. I mean, we worked through, as a family business for all those years, we worked through 2 world wars, the fires of 88, the earthquake of 59, lots and lots of challenges and hardships along the way. But to know that we as a family unit were strong, no matter, you know, what might be going on. And to now, we are so thrilled with what we've been doing, especially in recent years with the Eagle Family Fund. We are focusing on education, and we are contributing to, like, the classroom teachers have been encouraged to participate to apply for a grant. And with this, their entire classroom benefits. Initially, we were doing scholarships for individuals, which is wonderful as well. But we're really quite excited about this general giving that is having impact on the students in West Yellowstone. And the other thing we're extremely excited about that we've been doing the last few years is we're piggybacking and doing team building with another wonderful foundation in West Yellowstone that sends students into the park for the ultimate field trip. I mean, I can't imagine anything better for a field trip than spending close to a week in the park with all of your classmates. And so we are contributing half of the expenses of that every spring.
Wow. And that's the Yellowstone National Park, that team building. I want to talk about that here. I want to get one more question from you, Kendra, and then Jim as well. Does a student's face come to mind when I ask you, tell us a story about an immediate impact or even a longer term impact about one student or one person? Whose face comes to mind for you, Kendra?
So we are a bit removed from that actual experience of, say, being in the park with those kids. We are invited to attend, which is really wonderful, but so far we have been unable to, you know, to do that. So I have come to realize how key a teacher is in a student's life. And so for me, I know how my children were impacted, you know, so deeply by teachers, and my father was a teacher as well. So I guess what I could say generally instead of a specific face is Kelly, the gal that we co-partner with for this Yellowstone adventure. What she has said, which I think is really fascinating, is, well, can you imagine a sleepover with your whole class and then getting all this wonderful training and learning from park rangers and whatnot? But she said what's been really wonderful about the team building is that a lot of times the different stereotypes in a classroom, say, where you might have students who are more likely to be athletic and, you know, very popular, and then there are other more withdrawn children, and some who have never even though they're a block or two away from Yellowstone National Park, have never even been able to go into the park. And she said a lot of times those quieter individuals may just, you know, they love the outdoors and love animals, and it's a different type of learning. So she said, Kelly said that it kind of rises to the surface some of those students that before were just maybe kind of in the background. So I love that.
Jim Woodring, I want to hear from you as well, and I'm going to direct it this way. When the Cut Bank community looked into creating this foundation, so to speak, there was probably a lot of questions, right? What was your experience in working with the Montana Community Foundation in answering those questions?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, we just knew that there was a need and had no idea really how to go about it. And the MCF kind of fell into our lap, honestly, and we looked into them, and it was just a perfect fit. I mean, we dovetailed perfectly with them, sat down with them a couple of times, and they just held our hand right through everything. All the parts that we didn't know about, all the paperwork and things like that we didn't know if we had the bandwidth or the expertise to do, that's what they're there for. And, I mean, they've been awesome and just great to work with. And any question we have, they're super quick to answer it, and it's really easy to brainstorm ideas with them. It's just been fantastic partnership.
Talking about wealth transfer now, Community Foundations is one place where, in fact, 5% of Americans include charities in their estate plans, and across the country, $100 billion nationally. That is your giving directed toward what you think your community needs. That's a pretty good way to transfer that. Welcome back. You're from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. A host of folks here, Jim Bennett, Heather Ows with the Montana Community Foundation, mtcf.org. Jim Woodring, Cut Bank Community Foundation. Don't forget their Builder Summit is April 21st, starts at 9 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran. Kendra Owen is well with us, just off the plane, and gave us great information about Sam and Ida Eagle that started the Eagle Family Fund. And now Ariel Overstreet Atkins joins us. Good morning, Ariel. Download on us, okay? How do, if we're inclined, How do we, and what are the benefits of making this transfer to something like a community foundation?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
You know, one of the keys here is to actually do our estate planning, right? So if we want to benefit these really awesome community foundations, whether it's the Montana Community Foundation or your local community foundation, we actually have to take affirmative action to do this. And so whether that's setting up your will or a trust, or even specifically beneficiary designating certain bank accounts for investments, that is really what's key, because if we just kind of stick with what the default is under Montana law, then we don't get to benefit any of these charities. So we do actually have to do our estate plan. And one of the things that I find from people is that they, you know, they're really wanting to make get this just right. And so that kind of delays them from getting going on their estate plan. And so we kind of have this problem where people are so worried about doing it perfectly that they just don't do it at all. So one thing that I would encourage people to think about is, let's not worry about perfect. Let's worry about better than what you have now. So if you already have an estate plan, it doesn't say what you want, or you have no estate plan, and it's the default under Montana law, we need something better than that. And if that includes charitable giving, then we absolutely need to get that down in writing. So to get you going, take perfection off the table. And the other secret I have to help people get going on their estate planning is to not plan for the whole rest of their life, right? Because we could have people who could live another 40, you know, 30, however many years, 20 years, 10 years even, right? It's too much. It's too long to try to plan for. And so if you can just plan for the next 3 years. That's the secret that I give to my clients. Let's imagine an awful scenario where you pass away in the next 3 years. What do you want your estate plan to say? So if we can just focus on something better than what we have today and the next 3 years, that should get people rolling.
Nice. Where are they at emotionally at this time? And do you kind of have to walk them through? Because you're making sort of end-of-life decisions here. And like you say, you know, it doesn't have to be end-of-life before this thing sort of happens, but you start contemplating those things. What are they going through emotionally from your perspective, and how do you help them?
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, contemplating our death is pretty emotional, right?
Yeah.
We think about the people that we're going to leave behind. I think a lot of people start to think about their legacy and what, you know, what's going to live on after they pass. Some people don't even want to do planning because they have a fear that might hasten their death or something. But there's one thing for sure that we all know: we're all going to die someday. And we want to make sure that we have a great plan in place for when that happens.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Again, Ariel Overstreet Atkins, that's with Bluebird Law. I've got about 40 seconds left here, okay? So, Jim or Heather, who wants to take the wrap-up?
Yeah, I'll do it. This is Jim Bennett. I would just say, you know, we're here to make sure that people can help shape Montana's future through giving. So if that's something you're interested in and you want to talk to us, you can give us a call at 406-443-8313 or check us out at mtcf.org.
Appreciate that. Heather, you got 15 seconds.
I would just say, do it. Like, call us. Call your estate attorney. Call your CPA. Just take the first next step, and that gets you started. And you're going to feel so much better.
Yeah, and I appreciate all you guys. Jim Woodring, volunteering for this. Kendra Owen as well. Family that is invested in more family. Also, Ariel Overstreet Atkins, and then Heather Owes and Jim Bennett from the Montana Community Foundation. Appreciate what you guys are doing, and especially appreciate you, Montana, for making that happen for future Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.